The Volcanoes National Park plans to begin repairs to the eruption-damaged roads and paved trails next month. This week, it awarded the $3 million contract to Jazz Glover Limited. It's a major step toward restoring public access to areas of the park that have been off-limits due to the threat to public safety. Work is expected to be complete by summer. Visitors are advised to check for closures related to the work on Chain of Craters Road and are asked for patience during this time. In our ongoing collaboration with the National Park Service, today we bring you the incredible sounds documented before and during the 2018 Kilauea eruption. The eruption itself proved a destructive, powerful, and awe-inspiring force. But so few people actually get to hear close up what an active lava flow sounds like. Thanks to the sound, to the voices of Science Podcast, we can bring that sound to you.
For the National Park Service, I'm Brittany Connell, and you're listening to Voices of Science. Throughout the Hawaii Voices of Science episodes, we've talked a lot about change on Hawaii Island. Positive change that comes with species and habitat restoration, or trickier change that comes with invasive species and a changing climate. Some of the biggest changes on Hawaii come from the active volcano on the island. Lava flowing across the island incinerates everything in its path. But lava also creates new land, land that will eventually support species and habitats found nowhere else on Earth. In 2018, an eruption of the Kilauea volcano changed the island forever. Large lava flows southeast of the park destroyed hundreds of homes and devastated residential areas. At the same time, the summit area of the park was dramatically changed by a massive collapse of the Kilauea caldera. Our team was on Hawaii Island before the caldera collapsed, when Kilauea's crater contained an enormous lake of molten lava. A lava lake so huge you could see its orange glow in the sky from miles away. It was something to see. And it was also something to hear. Rockfall, gases, and movement as the lava surged back and forth created some of the most awe-inspiring sounds imaginable. We'd like to close out our episodes in Hawaii with the sounds of lava. First, the lava lake that used to lie within the Halemaumau crater, and then the lava flows at the end of the Chain of Craters Road. The sound of lava is the sound of change, an audio meditation on the cycles of creation and destruction that define Hawaii. Voices of Science is produced by the National Park Service in cooperation with the Acoustic Atlas at Montana State University. Our staff includes Jennifer Jarrett, David Restivo, Sarah Molina, and me, Brittany Connell. Special thanks to Michael Newman and Jessica Farrakane at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. To learn more about the park, visit their website at nps.gov/havo. Find more episodes of Voices of Science at go.nps.gov/VOS. Thanks for listening.
That was the Voices of Science podcast from the National Park Service, taking a closer look at the uncommon sounds of an active lava flow taken directly from the 2018 Kilauea eruptions. It's been 2 years since the eruptions that displaced hundreds and caused over $800 million in property damage, the most destructive eruption in the United States since Mount St. Helens. But what have we learned since then? How do the recent eruptions compare to the 200-year period of volcanic activity that preceded it? The conversation's Harrison Patino spoke with Matthew Patrick of the United States Geological Survey to get an update on one of the world's most active volcanoes.
Well, this is a big change on Kilauea over the past year and a half because it's been so quiet. 35 years prior to the 2018 eruption, we had continuous activity for 35 years, and the last from 2008 to 2018, we had two simultaneous eruptions, one at the summit, one on the East Rift Zone. So there was a lot of activity for many years before the 2018 activity. 2018 activity was really a historic event for Kilauea volcano, but once it ended, we're now in this new era of quiescence. But the volcano is still an active volcano. It will erupt in the future, and what we're monitoring now is that we see that the Kilauea summit magma chamber is reinflating, so it's recharging. So at some point in the future, there are no signs of an imminent eruption, but at some point in the future, Kilauea will erupt again.
So I like that word you use, recharging, as opposed to dormant. Is there a difference between those two words in terms of how we talk about volcanoes before their next eruption?
Yeah, people use dormant sometimes in different ways. Kilauea, I don't think most people would consider dormant as taking a break between eruptions, but that break, you know, there are other volcanoes that are truly dormant that may be quiet for decades or hundreds of years, but Kilauea is not one of those.
Are there any sort of significant events or significant data sets that you've been able to figure out or glean from what you've been monitoring since the 2018 eruption?
Well, one of the things that we see since 2018, just over the past 6 months, is that we have, one of the big changes is that we have water that's appeared in the summit caldera. This is in Halemaumau Crater. A small pond of water has appeared, and this is the first time in the past 200 years that a feature like this has appeared at the summit. And we've been tracking that very closely. It's been rising steadily, and it appears to be basically groundwater that's seeping into this new crater, presumably because this new crater that formed in 2018 at the summit is so deep. It's the largest collapse depression that's occurred in the past 200 years, so that may be why we're seeing water for the first time in 200 years, just because that crater is deeper and bigger than previous collapses.
So why is this unprecedented, and what would be the implications of it?
It may be unprecedented simply because of the scale of the collapse that we had in 2018 at the summit was the largest in the past 200 years, so it may have just simply tapped down to a deeper level than we've seen in the past 200 years, so it's actually meeting that deep water table for the first time. But, you know, we're watching the water pond closely because, in part because there is the Kilauea volcano has a history in the geologic record of explosive activity, and this is hundreds of years ago. But some of that older explosive activity was thought to be related to magma interacting with groundwater, causing, you know, steam blast explosions. So that's one reason that we're keeping a close eye on the summit. Right now, there's no signs of imminent explosive activity or any unrest that would point in that direction in the near future. Pond and the inflation have been quite steady, so that's a good sign in terms of the near future.
You say that we're in this sort of lull period where Kilauea is recharging. Are researchers and scientists able to give some sort of an estimate of when that period of activity might start back up again?
No, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to say exactly when, you know, lava will reach the or magma will reach the surface again and drive a new eruption. But it will happen eventually. Kilauea, like we said, is one of the most active volcanoes on Earth, and at some point, the magma chamber will reach some critical level where it's pressurized enough to drive magma to the surface.
So the 2018 eruption put sort of a cap on a very long period of eruption for Kilauea. How do you, particularly as somebody who's monitored Kilauea, put the 2018 eruptions into perspective of the recent history of Kilauea's eruptions, maybe going back as far as 100 years?
The 2018 activity was really the most notable events in Kilauea in the past 200 years. And the scale of the Lower East Rift Zone eruption, the lava flow, was one of the largest lava flow eruptions that we've had on Kilauea in the past couple hundred years. The collapse at the summit, we know, is the largest of the past 200 years. In part, those two are related because, you know, that Lower East Rift Zone eruption was so large that it drained, you know, an unusually large amount of magma from the summit chamber and caused the caldera floor to collapse on a larger scale than what we've seen over the past 200 years.
That was our producer, Harrison Patino, talking with geologist Matthew Patrick on the status of Kilauea.